One, two, three. Hey,
everybody.
This is Y'all Heard, a podcast with me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
Are not related.
And this is a podcast that, no matter how many emails they release, will not be in the Epstein files. They didn't even listen to us on the plane.
In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. I didn't even look it up yet because I assume nothing's going to come of it, and I don't want to get angrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it worth me looking at?
I didn't look at it either for the same reason.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been sleeping a lot. I've been working on, like, stuff at work that just takes a lot of brain power. And I get home and I sleep.
No offense. Wasn't that happening always?
Yeah, but now I sleep for like a long time. And then I wake up and I eat food. And then like a couple hours later, I go back to bed.
Whoa.
Yeah. But Marissa, I have a question for you. This is, I think we should stop calling this segment, How Are You? Because like we can ask the question, but a lot of times we don't want to talk about how we are.
Okay.
But all right. So I see on a regular basis, these two people, these two students go to class at the same time and they put down their stuff and then they both leave the room and go to the bathroom together.
The fuck?
Except, well, maybe you're answering my question here.
Okay.
The bathroom only has one toilet.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
Every day?
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
But are they the same? Not that this matters about your ability to go to the bathroom, but are they the same?
Or
gender?
Fuck.
Are they both ladies or both guys?
They're both ladies.
They might just be like, I mean, they could still be fucking, but ladies do like to go to the bathroom together.
But like, I get that in like a public restroom.
Oh yeah, that is kind of.
But when there's just one toilet, I'm like, what's the other one doing? Just like looking at them? And what if one of them really wants to poop that day?
Yeah, I'm just, they're fucking.
So this is how I am, guys.
Okay. So I'm sorry.
I'm vexed by the eternal questions of the world.
So we're naming, so we don't want to call this segment, How Are You? What are we calling it?
Sup, dude.
Okay. Cool.
What's up with you, Marissa? How's life going?
I'm going to say something that I don't even know if it sounds like I'm bragging, but if I'm bragging, it's barely bragging, because really, what am I bragging about? But we were at a Mexican restaurant, and a whole bunch of Aaron's coworkers were there. And I don't fully remember what I was wearing, but I think I was just wearing these, like, not particularly flattering jeans. I don't know. A regular shirt, combat boots. And maybe like a peacoat. I don't know. I looked like I normally look. And the next day, which I also find it funny because Aaron told me what they said. And I'm like, when did they say this? He's like, when we were working on a patient. And I was like, so they're like, just like saying this, like when a patient's like half asleep getting their heart saved, whatever. Anyway, but no, I don't know. The lady was just like, oh, your wife.
I love her accent already.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're an accent she definitely doesn't have. Your wife, she's so pretty and she looks like she should be living in New York or something. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
It's funny, and you were just like, yeah, I should be okay. Can we get the hell out of here?
What's also funny, side note to my own like stupid story. When I used to not live in the city, I don't live in the city now, but before I could live in the city, when I couldn't afford to live in the city, and I desperately wanted to live in the city, people were constantly telling me, you're not made for this place, you should live in the city. And no one understood how fucking annoying that was, because I couldn't afford to live in the city, and I couldn't get there. It wasn't for lack of trying. So just like, know, like, think about what you're saying when you tell people things. Anyway,
you did live in the city of Wilkes-Barre, so let's not discount that.
Yeah, that's true. That's when people, I was living in the city of Wilkes-Barre when people kept going, you don't belong here. And they meant I belonged in a bigger city. Anyway, so she's like, oh, she looks like she belongs in New York. Oh, she like, she also looks like she's in Gossip Girl. Which was only like so exciting to me because I'm currently watching the original Gossip Girl, which I never saw at the time. And my husband was like, she watches Gossip Girl. And I'm like, okay. Anyway, so I just wanted you to know that, but like.
That's all she does. She just.
That is basically it. But I just thought it was funny because I don't want to be in this place. But also, I definitely don't look like I.
I feel like they are inherently opposite because it's the whole point of Gossip Girl that it takes place in like a little town.
Oh no, Gossip Girl takes place.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I got it crossed with that other one with,
like One Tree Hill or something?
No, not even close. Like I was so far. Yeah, that one.
Oh, no, yeah, Gossip Girl, deals with the incredibly rich people in New York.
Okay, well that makes sense, yeah.
Well, I
did say you had a pea coat on.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess it's that. I do look like I don't belong here, but I don't think I look like I belong in Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just thought that was, funny. Anyway, so what's your icebreaker that I'm gonna hate?
Icebreaker.
In case you haven't noticed, Christy bombed at the box office this weekend.
What's that?
That's a movie where Sydney Sweeney decided to underplay her traditional good looks and go for a gritty, face-punching lesbian with a terrible haircut and a husband who wants to kill her.
You woke up thinking this was going to do great, and in my mind I was like, I don't think it is. I think Sydney Sweeney has fallen out of favor.
And it's in the news today, which is where I went to look for icebreaker fodder, because Ruby Rose said that Sydney Sweeney ruined the movie.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Well,
she called her a cretin?
and that, well, because of who she is, she shouldn't be playing a lesbian boxer.
Because
she's Republican, because she, you know, isn't gay, because she supports people who victimize other people and gay people are a marginalized portion of society. Anyway. So
yeah,
since,
I wasn't saying that I totally don't agree with that. I just wanted to be specific, but okay.
Since the movie bombed, it seems clear to me that she gets cast because people think she's hot. But if she wants to deny that, what are some other ways that Sydney Sweeney could act without relying on her looks?
She could be a voice actor.
Okay, but for what?
Do you have an answer first?
I thought of that too. I thought, well, she could be a voice actor. Crap, I had two things in mind and now I can't remember the second one. But like, maybe she could star in like an all-female version reboot of Mask.
What's Mask?
And Cher can still be in it.
I like, no masks exist. I know Mask exists, but I don't actually know what it is.
Yeah, the boy has a deformed face.
Oh, okay. But is her body still beautiful?
I don't know if you would say that it is in this movie. But she wears, I guess she wears a lot of stuff to like pad everything down.
No, I mean in your version of Mask, are her tits gonna still be really visible?
I mean, no. Wait, nah. They're gonna make reasonable efforts to try to hide them.
Okay.
Or she could, I guess this falls under voice acting, but she could like be the voice of an animal.
In a survival
story of some sort.
Ooh, I like that. I want her to be the voice of an animal, but like not an anthropomorphized animal. I want her to
like a Homeward Bound type thing.
They talk in Homeward Bound, don't they? I don't even want. I just want her.
They
to
talk, but they don't talk to people.
Yeah, but I don't. I just want her to make like woofs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. That would be a true test of her acting.
Yeah, so that's my answer. She's going to be a non-talking animal voice actor.
I think, too, like, if she did animated work, like, if she was the voice of, like, a toilet or poop or something.
Oh, I like that.
Maybe, yeah.
I just want to say, this is, like, a super aside, and I'm sure I'm not even going to articulate it well. But when someone tried to put me on jury duty once, I walked in the room, saw the guilty person, saw his sad face, and I was like, I'm not made for this. I can feel bad for anyone if you put it in the right context. And I'm looking at Sydney Sweeney dressed up, and I'm like, I also am just like, I don't know, she kind of seems like not great. Like, she's annoying. But then I scroll up, and it shows a picture of her kind of looking like, do you know Pat from SNL?
Yeah.
Yeah, a scene from the film where she, without glasses, she
gotcha.
Kind of
yeah.
looks like Pat. Mm-hmm. And I, like, forgot she's Sydney Sweeney, and I was like, oh, I feel bad for her. And I'm like, but she's the same person. So, yeah, I can feel bad for anyone.
Well, see, I think that's part of it and part of why I asked the question, because, like, she has to, quote-unquote, ug herself up
yeah.
to reach the level of being perceived as realistic in this role.
Yeah. But
she even talked about being in this movie and how she had to gain 30 pounds to be in the movie. But even in that, she's like, it all went to my tits and my ass.
She said like, that?
Shut up.
yeah, she doesn't, like.
She just seems like a complete moron.
Yeah, and I think it's like, there are a billion actors out there who are like, Republicans. And like, I mean, we may not know it, but like, I don't think the backlash is that specifically. It's that she like seems kind of tone deaf. I just said depth. What? She's tone deaf. Deaf. What the fuck? She's tone deaf, and she's just, I don't know. She kind of sees up her own ass.
Yeah.
I don't know if
when she did that Gene commercial and people were saying that it was racist.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump and J.D. Vance both stepped forward to say that she is a Republican and she is a good woman.
Yeah, I don't think that helped her case. I will say that. I think that definitely hurt her case. But also, isn't there one of the main reasons why she's fallen out of favor? Because she's dating? Is she dating, like, Scooter Braun?
Or I couldn't tell you.
Or is she dating the guy who sucks?
Scooter. It's a funny name.
Oh, wait. No. Wait. I thought she was dating someone. Oh, did I just totally fake news something?
Somebody with face tattoos.
I don't think she was. Okay, I don't know if she's still dating him or if it's officially was dating, but in September of this year, she was, quote, having fun with Scooter Braun. And isn't that the guy who Kesha accused of, like, raping her?
Oh, maybe.
Note, the legal and public dispute was between Kesha and music producer Dr. Luke, who was a partner of Scooter Braun's management company, but not Scooter himself.
I thought that was also, like, what really tipped her over the edge. And she's, like, really tight with the Amazon guy.
Posted 9 hours ago, Glenn Powell keeping dating life secret after Sydney Sweeney rumors.
Again, there's Sydney Sweeney rumors? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway,
hey, bring some more life to this podcast.
Guys, no one's listening to our podcast ever with children around, but like, if you are for some reason, this is not it. This is an, yeah, this is an MA episode. Okay. And Pete, I don't know if you read the article I sent you. Did you read the article I sent you about the chair company? You
didn't have to. Oh, no, I did not.
Okay, good. So then
nothing. Because I kind of wanted to experience
it. So first thing I want to say is, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil the tiniest bit, but it's not plot spoil. I want to say that if you happen to be watching the Tim Robbins show, The Chair Company, and you're not up to date, what I'm about to share doesn't spoil any plot points at all, I promise. what I'm just going to mention is just one scene that's tied to an ongoing joke. But it's like just like super bizarre rather than like significant. And if you're not watching the show, it's fine. You don't need to know anything about the show to follow what I'm about to talk about. So in episode 5 of the show, there's this like continuing discussion about Dickens wrote a Christmas. Wait.
Christmas Carol.
That's the Scrooge one. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, because I wrote a Christmas story and I was like, that doesn't sound right. Okay. So yeah, there's ongoing discussion about Dickens's story, A Christmas Carol. At the very end of the episode, you see one of the characters watching a version of A Christmas Carol on TV. In it, Scrooge appears to be talking to the Ghost of Christmas Future, who, you know, if you've seen any version of The Christmas Carol, they're almost always in this, like, long, spooky, like, shrouded robe.
Looking like death.
Yeah. And Scrooge says something like, I don't remember the specifics, but he says something like, oh, now I will embody the Christmas spirit every day of the year. Mm-hmm. And the Ghost of Christmas Future lowers their hood, and you see that in this particular take on the story, it's a beautiful young woman. And the ghost says something like, are you sure about that? And then she crouches down, and the camera pans down, and you see this lady kneeling in front of Scrooge's bottom half. She has a gigantic veiny dong. And the Ghost of Christmas Future lady leans forward and puts Scrooge's dong in her mouth. Before,
guys, she's doing a whole episode on this.
Not on this specifically. But yeah, the lady puts Scrooge's dong in her mouth, and then the show quickly goes to black. So it was definitely like...
Okay, now when you say the show goes to black, do you mean the video, like the show in the show, or you mean that episode of The Chair Company goes to black?
That was a good point. I think the whole episode.
Okay. Actually. I mean, hell, how else would you, what are you going to follow that up with?
Yeah, I think the whole episode, like the episode panned to the show to show you what the guy was watching. So I think. But if I'm slightly wrong, it doesn't have a big bearing on what I'm talking about. But anyway. So there definitely was just like very brief, but a straight up like pornographic moment that really caught me off guard because the Chair Company is not like that. It is like not a sexual show to any degree. So yeah, I was momentarily traumatized, not because I'm a giant prude. I don't really like porn, but not specifically because of that, but just because it was so unexpected. And I just didn't expect to see something so explicit on HBO and in that show specifically. Mm-hmm. So I immediately started like looking for reactions online because I wanted to be like,
for more clips.
Like, what is everyone else doing?
That's Marissa goes to Google. How is everyone coping with?
And, one of the first results on Google was a Forbes article titled, The Chair Company's Episode 5 Ending. Can HBO do that? I mean, clearly they can because they did, but.
Yeah. I can't understand why anybody would ask why they couldn't do that.
Yeah. Like that was an interesting way to frame that, but anyway, like clearly I was not the only one taken aback according to that and everyone on Reddit that was like, what the fuck am I watching? Now as the article in Forbes states, HBO is a channel filled with like a lot of nudity and sex, but generally not at this level. I mean, sure, HBO shows plenty of rated R shit and raunchy shit, but I don't think they, like, show porn or, like, straight-up graphic, like, P&B and P&M.
Even your NC-17 might come with some class to it.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I just kind of, like, wanted to, like, look more about, like, what are their limits? And apparently there's, like, not a lot on Max currently, like, to compare what I saw, like, to compare it to. The Forbes article, all they mentioned was that, like, over a decade ago, HBO showed a NC-17 version of Inside Deep Throat. a documentary about the famous pornographic film. And apparently in the documentary, there was footage from the porn film itself. So mm-hmm. that would have been pornographic content. That said, there are other NC-17 films I found that are on HBO. A bunch I've never even heard of, but one that's pretty well known, which I forgot was NC-17, is the 2017 Michael Fassbender film, Shame. Did you see Shame?
No.
Okay. There's a lot of, like, full frontal dong. And there are some, like, really graphic sex scenes, like seen from all positions and all sorts of levels, but it's still not like really as in your face as what was on the Chair Company. So yeah, I'm like, I really can't think of anything else at HBO that kind of like went there.
Also, also like situationally, if you were like in the show, in the room with the guy watching this, you're still in a situation where you're watching The Christmas Carol.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That said, The Chair Company is not rated NC-17. It's an MA rated series, which is the like equivalent of an R rating. And the episode itself started with an MA rating, and the MA rating was said to be for nudity and strong sexual content, which I didn't notice at the beginning. And if I had, every moment I would be like, when is it coming? And apparently there actually is no NC-17 equivalent rating for TV, which seems stupid to me, but whatever. So like I said, I was just, what?
I'm just thinking like, when I was growing up, it's like, oh, well, that's what cable's for. It's just that I guess HBO is now, like, you don't think of it as cable anymore. Because
yeah.
Because of streaming and everything. It's just like another service that you subscribe to.
Well, yeah. I'll get to something that seems like sort of related in a minute. But, so like I said, I kind of wanted to get more info about like what, if anything specific, are HBO's limits with sexual content, if there are any like clear cut ones. So I Googled, which I was like, is this a stupid thing that I Googled? Is everyone like, but I Googled, is there porn on HBO? Because I will say, like, back in the day, I used to equate, like, Cinemax with, mm-hmm. I don't think straight-up porn, but at least, like, softcore porn. I don't even know, because I would, honestly, like.
And, like, that sort of stuff is on Tubi now.
Really?
So, like, it's a completely free service, but you could watch, like, I don't know, Women Are From Venus and Want to Touch Your Penis, which is not the name of a movie, but, like, like you could watch some movie on there about, like, women coming from space and like taking over men's bodies or what, I don't know.
From space? Anyway, I did not know Tubi had that. So yeah, I Googled, is there porn on
HBO? Wait, it recommends that for everybody, right guys?
I Googled, is there porn on HBO? Kind of already knowing the answer, but still wanting to double check. Maybe there's some secret porn section of HBO Max that I don't dig deep enough to know about. And I found a 2018 article on Esquire that says, quote, you can't watch porn on HBO anymore, but you can still watch shows about porn. So, I mean, surprise to me, I guess there was porn on HBO until not really that long ago. So, in the article, Esquire reported that year, HBO had removed all of its erotic adult content and TV shows from its channels and streaming services. So I guess there definitely was some porn on HBO, but it was, you know, long enough ago that I probably didn't have HBO to even, like, be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, over the past several years, HBO has been winding down its late-night adult fare, an HBO representative told the LA Times in 2018. While we're greatly ramping up our other original program offerings, there hasn't been a strong demand for this kind of adult programming, perhaps because it's easily available elsewhere. And that's true. By 2018, everyone was probably getting their porn online. Like, yeah, there's like really no point to have to get it from HBO. And
instead, now you're paying for comedies that have niche celebrities
yeah.
in them.
Yes.
But what about that weekend show? Was that kind of porny?
Oh,
I remember you said it had a lot of sex in it.
That really, really pushed the limits. But there still was like never a scene of his like dick straight up in her mouth like that. Like it's so close. That I'm still haunted that I made it through that show, by the way. Not because of the sexual content, because I don't know what the fuck it was trying to do. Also, The Weeknd's a horrible actor. And I can't get myself to even respect him after watching that. Anyway. And for the record, it's not like I thought the chair company, like, hired actors to perform sex acts for the show just for that scene. But FYI, just in case you questioned it, SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, prohibits actors from performing any actual sex acts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it were to be, like, actually happening, it would have had to be, like, a non-Hollywood-filmed porn scene. And SAG-AFTRA categorizes that as, quote, general contact without a physical barrier. So that cannot be in any SAG-AFTRA protected film or show. And it turns out that the Forbes article I cited earlier was wondering if the scene in the show might have been from a porn film that already existed. Which honestly, that's what I actually thought. But, I mean, I'm not doing my own research. I don't want a bunch of shit on my computer that's weird. But the author did a reverse image search to see if they could find that clip elsewhere. And they said that they could not prove that that was from an already existent porn. So perhaps this was a scene made just for the chair company. So in order to have fit with SAG-AFTRA, they probably just filmed it with a gigantic prosthetic penis, which would make sense because it was a comically large.
Boogie Nights.
I actually never saw Boogie Nights.
Was I don't know if I did large? Either.
Oh, okay.
But I know it's prosthetic.
Gotcha, okay. So as for some other HBO sex info, man, 2018 was a time of big change in the world of HBO, and I can't believe it took this long. In 2018, official HBO policy required all sex scenes to involve an intimacy coordinator. It was announced that the intimacy coordinator would serve as a mediator among actors, directors, producers, and crew. So HBO's show The Deuce, are you familiar with that show? I think that has Maggie Gyllenhaal in it.
I've heard the title.
Okay, well anyway, this is a show that is set in the sex trade industry in New York's Times Square during the 70s, and apparently this was the first show on HBO to establish an intimacy coordinator. I feel like the show was like, well, I feel like it's not that long ago, which, yeah, 2018. I'm kind of surprised it took that long. But on The Deuce, intimacy coordinator Alicia Rodas reviewed scripts, discussed the sex scenes before they were filmed, and talked to the actors individually, and coordinated everyone's activities. She also elicited the actors' personal boundaries to make sure, quote, consent is informed and certain before we move forward, she told the Rolling Stone in an interview. Rodas essentially served as an advocate for the actors with the production team on any issues that might arise. Now, like I said, kind of surprised it took that long, because I feel like I've heard of the term before 2018, but apparently intimacy coordinators did exist before 2018, just, you know, not HBO specifically. But apparently intimacy coordinators were a thing in, like, the theater world for a long time. But it is still fairly new when it comes to film and television. But that seemed interesting to me because, like, how many plays have, like, graphic sex scenes in them? I can't even, like, I don't know. I've never, I mean, maybe I don't see enough plays.
I feel like, though, there's a lot of, like, maybe intimate moments.
Yeah,
where, like, things
too.
Could get too real or, you know, like, if there's some sort of, like, romance broken, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
Okay, I'll take it though. And apparently actress Emily Mead on The Deuce was who pushed the idea forward. So I don't even know if they would have had an intimacy coordinator without an actress asking for it. Mead went to HBO executives and demanded changes on the onset culture, because she felt it left actors to fend for themselves when asked to do sex scenes that made them uncomfortable. Now, really weirdly, where'd it go? I lost my space. Okay. Really weirdly, I don't know if you've ever heard about this. I did not. 3 years prior to 2018, there was a dispute surrounding how much intimacy was allowed on the set of the show Westworld. The Central Casting Office required background actors who were working on the show to sign consent forms, agreeing to participate in, quote, graphic sexual situations.
I think I recall this too, yeah.
This is insane. I've never heard of this. Agreeing to participate in, quote, graphic sexual situations, including, quote, genital to genital touching and posing, quote, on all fours while others who are fully nude ride on your back. Many actors were taken aback by the waiver, and SAG-AFTRA vowed to have a representative on the set to monitor conditions. That just sounds crazy because apparently, I Googled, like, when did SAG-AFTRA make it not acceptable to have real sex? And it was like, SAG-AFTRA never let actors have real sex. So mm-hmm. I was like, how could you ever ask someone to allow genital touching, whatever? I mean, I guess that's sex enough to me. But anyway, however, at the time, HBO wouldn't take the blame, and they blamed a vendor for this unhinged waiver. Quote, it was not requested, written, or approved by HBO, Warner Brothers Television, or the producers, and contains situations that we do not require of any actor, HBO said. We are rectifying immediately the discrepancies in this vendor's document and our actual on-set practices, which provide a professional and comfortable working environment for all performers. It's not funny, but I'm just like, if you didn't ask that, who would decide to put that? Like, that's an unhinged thing to just yada yada assume they want. But anyway. Now, I kind of still wanted, I don't know what I was expecting, but I still wanted more to this episode. But sadly, like, there wasn't more. Like, there wasn't, I don't know why. I was just like, where did HBO very concretely draw the line right now? And I couldn't know that. I had no reason to know it. I was just curious for some reason. Anyway, all of this is just to say that, yeah, generally, you don't easily find porn on most streamers these days. So that is generally why everyone was so shocked by it. But I do want to end this by saying that even though SAG-AFTRA absolutely prohibits unstimulated sex of any kind, there is a long ass list of movies where unstimulated sex or sexual acts occurred. So I'm just gonna like,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if it happens, what, do they kick you out?
Yeah, that, well, no, because I mean, like, Chloe Sevigny and Vincent Gallo are, well, I don't know that he's really well known anymore, but she is. And I've never seen this movie. There's a movie called Brown Bunny. This starred Vincent Gallo and Chloe Sevigny. And grossly, Gallo also directed this film. And he was the one who got an unsimulated blowjob. So that just seems gross if he's like, yeah, do it for real. Like, and is directing her through it. But thank God they were at the very least dating each other at the time. So that makes it slightly less jarring. But also, like, so no, I mean, I don't think they get kicked out. Robert Pattinson wasn't, sex with another person, but in Little Ashes, a film that no one I know has seen, including myself, even though I love him, where Robert Pattinson plays Salvador Dali. Apparently, he kept trying to fake masturbation, and it wasn't going well, so then he really jacked off on the scene. And that's in the fucking film? Which, that, I don't know. Did anyone really need that much? I left this one off the list, because different people say different things, But there was a Lars von Trier, I think it's the director, a movie called Nymphomaniac. You haven't seen that, have you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you did see it?
Parts one and two.
How close?
Excruciating. It's okay. Just like a, yeah. I don't remember. I just remember, like, it was so emotionally heavy.
Yeah, well, I keep wanting to see it, but I don't know if I should. But,
it's like, if people are having sex, it's not sexual. If that makes sense.
Okay. But how, like, again, like, not how graphic, but like, how in your face is it? Like, I know that they're having a lot of sex, but is it, would you count it as, like, would it border on porn or not quite?
I don't think so, because you don't usually have, like, sad people.
Yeah, 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 okay.
In a porno.
Well, anyway, why I bring this up is, in, like, leading up to the movie coming out, I don't remember who exactly, but people involved said that the sex was unsimulated. But then they backtracked it, and then they said, like, it sort of was unsimulated, but that porn stars were hired, and then, like, Shia LaBeouf's face was put on the porn actor's body by a CGI.
See, he just strikes me as a scumbag, so I just assumed, you know.
Yeah, not him and whoever else was in that sex scene, but yeah, yeah, it's true. So, yeah, like, I guess that is unsimulated, but it's, like, but not for the actual actors involved. There are actually a lot of cases of that where, like, it is real sex, but they have, like, body doubles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like I said, Brown Bunny is just straight up Chloe Sevigny blowing Vincent Gallo, which I don't.
Just unfortunate. All around.
I've never seen, what the fuck is it called? Caligula. And apparently that has some unsimulated sex. And I don't know the specifics because I just don't want to, I don't get too in the weeds. But the reason I bring that up is because I think Helen Mirren is in that movie. And I just, she's seen as such a classy lady now that I just like, I don't know, that just seems very interesting. And I've never seen, have you ever seen any, what's his John Waters movies?
Hasn't everybody? But I haven't seen anything, like, crazy in a John Waters movie.
Oh, I mean, I never saw Plink from those, but, I mean, I guess Divine really blows some guy in the film. Like, that's unsimulated, apparently. But, so yeah. That's where I'm ending. Letting you all know the movies that you could look out for people really having sex with each other. So, yeah. Anyway, what was the point of this? I don't know.
Well, I can tell you that yesterday, xbiz.com reported that it was Maestro Claudio and Ashley Lane who were featured in the final scene, and they are pornographic actors.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, all right. So, I wonder if I'm sorry. So that was the third thing. Okay. So either it could have been regular actors that they gave a prosthetic penis. It could have been ripped from a porno that already exists, or I never saw it. Duh. They could have just had some porn actors make a scene for the show. That was the third that Forbes didn't even think of.
Quote, it was surreal and hilarious to show up as Scrooge in the final moments of The Chair Company. Maestro Claudio said, the parody twist was absurd in the best way, and Ashley made the whole thing pop. I love that our scene ends the episode. It's weird and it's memorable. So, I mean, they got the job done with you, Marissa.
Yeah. And I gotta say again, like, I promise that is not a plot spoiler, but I am sorry, like, if you haven't seen The Chair Company yet, like, yeah, that I did spoil something that was gonna really
Just really gave you, like, a warning. A more detailed warning than the episode itself has.
Because, man, like, yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh, like, it felt heartfelt in the scene. And that's why I was like, what the fuck? Like, I got, like, angry.
I read a couple of interpretations, and it does sound like a funny reason that they have it there. So...
Man, yeah, Pete has not seen the Chair Company yet.
But also, I have to feel, I feel like I have to agree with you where it's like, you could get the point across without it having to be so graphic, I guess.
Yeah.
Like you could infer or you could imply that it's a porno without having to get
yeah.
so involved. Yeah.
What's crazy is like, I don't mind. I like how intense the Chair Company is, but they could have just like, they could have, well, you know, I would have liked it if they had the same scene, but instead of it ending with me actually watching it, if it was just panned out a little bit, so I was instead watching a character watch it, so the dick wasn't so in my face.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
But it could also be that Tim Robinson maybe really thinks that pornos are funny.
Maybe.
Now, I don't really know a ton about him, like, on a personal level, but I know from people that he, like, seems to hang out with in Hollywood, he is kind of, like, very childish in some ways. So
yeah.
I could see him going like, no, it'll be hilarious if we put a real dick in this.
I don't know why, not to like insult him, but like, I see his content as like, not sexless, but like I never expect sex to play much of a part in anything he makes. So even in friendship, like there was nothing explicitly sexual, but when there was like that like whole thing about his wife and orgasming, I was like, what, what? Like, it just always catches me really off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Plugs.
Can't wait to hear your plugs.
I mean, I was going to go right into the plug and just say, I do plug the Chair Company because, and again, not to spoil anything, but, like, I don't know what I was expecting, and I find Tim Robinson incredibly funny. But when I watched the trailer to the Chair Company, I almost was like, this actually doesn't look as funny as I want it to be. And it's definitely, like, if you're not familiar with Tim Robinson, it's not like a laugh track kind of funny. It's like, this is absurd, and this is weird, and this is uncomfortable funny.
Right, you almost wish there was a laugh track, but you
yes.
know it was okay to laugh.
Yes, but I consider it a piece, not to be dramatic, but I found Friendship a masterpiece. I find the Chair Company a masterpiece of weird comedy, but also I honestly thought they should have released it a little earlier because I find it horrifying in a way I wasn't prepared for. I find it's a mixture of like weird comedy and totally unexpected horror. And I can't wait for Pete to finally watch it.
Yeah, I kind of want to be able to, I don't want to go through the anguish of like waiting for the next episode. Because the first one ended so confusingly that I was like, ooh, I wanted to see the next one.
And I will just say, I don't know how you felt about the first one. I thought it was fine, but I wasn't in it 100% until I watched the second one.
Okay.
So, yeah. Did you like the first one?
It was another, just like Friendship. It was another one where I was kind of like, I really like his family angle and how he just sucks
yeah.
at it.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, I'm sure only a few of you know my husband, but my husband agreed at some point to watch Friendship with me. And I can, my husband, he would be happy if he only ever watched romantic comedies and Rush Hour for the rest of his life. Only that, and Christmas movies. Those three genres. When I make him watch something that's unpleasant, he just goes, I just want to laugh. So, I don't think he's going to like Friendship, but I feel like if he's going to be with me for life, he needs to know that this is what I like, and he needs to sit through it. So,
I think part of it, too, is having, like, a comfort level to know, like, not to know what to laugh at, because you could laugh at the whole thing. But, you know, like, I maybe he can't relate to the thing that I find so appealing about all of his characters, which is basically they seem like they're trying to control things, but they have absolutely no control whatsoever.
Yeah.
And everything gets away from them, and everything causes them chaos, and there's just nothing they can do.
Yeah. I have a feeling my husband's not going to know what's a joke. And so that'll be interesting to watch.
Well, as long as you don't watch it, like, restrained, going like, ooh, I want to see what he laughs at.
Oh, no. And I will just say, I am very thankful that I watched Friendship in the movie theater and no one was there. And I got to yell at the screen by myself. That was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your plug?
Oh, I wanted to plug a podcast called Corators. And it's a podcast that's hosted by two guys I've never heard of. And Claire O'Kane, who is a comedian that I know. And basically they go to Quora and they look at certain questions and how people answered and kind of just make fun of people on the internet, which, you know, maybe you do or maybe you've done with friends before, but this is like episodic and weekly, so you get to kind of listen to it on a regular basis.
Okay. How did you find that if you don't know them?
Because I do know Claire O'Kane.
Oh.
And I think like on one of her Instagram posts or something, she was promoting it, but she was promoting it and she's been on it for like 2 years, I think. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Oh, okay. This is more, I guess I am doing a second plug, but it's more like I'm telling Pete something.
Cheating. No, you can't.
I'm just telling you that QAnon Anonymous, well, they're called QAA now, is doing a side mini series called Truly Tradly Deeply about Tradwife.
Nice.
And that's it. I've been pushed to my limits of the information I can take in without
wanting There's times when I talk to Marissa and I don't answer something and I know that it bothers her. I don't do it on purpose, but I know that it bothers her that I don't answer something. And it's usually because I'm trying to think of an answer. Sometimes I'll even go off on a different topic because I'm still thinking of the answer and she'll go, you never answered the question. But I have to tell you guys, the pause that Marissa just took, I was like, the longer this pause goes, the more I want to know what she's going to say.
I almost paused because I was like, do I even need to explain? But yeah, I like taking in information about parts of life that I don't experience. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm pushed to my limit.
Yeah.
And I think
you can go deep with furries, but trad wives, yeah, you got to draw a line.
Yeah, like I am really, and I almost was going to do a podcast about like a piece of what I was taking in. And I can't, like I can't live in it longer than the length of a podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. You can call us anytime. If you're watching The Chair Company, I'd love to know what you think. You can call us at 570-PODWAD1, or you can email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And as always, you can slide into my DMs at RissVandal.
You can also hear Marissa's take on All's Fair on our Patreon.
Which, by the way, part of me wants to watch, but like fast forward, just because I want to see where it goes. But spoiler alert for my podcast, I don't hate Kim Kardashian, okay? And yeah, thank you for listening, guys. And glad to have you here and stay safe out there and bye.
Yeah. Bye.